Beer Radio, episode 528 on July 26, 2025. R.I.P. Rest of Power King. Go for it, Ozzy.
Hi,
everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank
I'm Shannon.
I'm Greg.
I'm Jeff.
Gonna do a show tonight.
We're gonna do a show.
Let's start with one of these lagers. Let's start with your lager since it's the lageriest of the lagers.
Okay.
Lageriest.
The lageriest of the lagers. So this is something that I picked up just literally about an hour ago. This is from Four Points Brewing. It's a Bohemian Pilsner, 4.2% alcohol by volume. Something nice and simple to start with.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get trashed tonight.
Well, I mean, who knows? Still young.
All right. So there's been, well, this beer is in the glasses. Things have been going on. Shannon and I got the new house. So we've been working over there, getting it ready, refinishing hardwood floors. I painted three bedrooms today.
And I mowed
the yard
more.
If there's one thing that was like, oh, did we fuck up? It's
the yard.
There's a lot of yard. It's very steep yard.
You have a...
Too steep.
You know, can't do it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, it's almost too... Some of it's too steep for a push mower.
Okay. Well, you can adjust that, couldn't you?
No.
It's we haven't come to terms of being not overwhelmed with the yard yet, but we'll get there, I think, hopefully.
I don't know.
I don't know how much it's going to cost.
It's going to cost thousands.
I don't like how much it's going
to cost. Thousands and thousands. Yeah.
Tens of thousands.
Probably. Yes. Yes.
Well, what if you even it out?
No. There's no way.
No options.
What if you get rid of the grass there and put something else there?
That's not really an option either.
I mean, I love your brainstorming.
Yeah, I do
too. The problem
too.
Is there's knotweed right down the way. So if we don't keep it maintained, the knotweed's just going to take over our lives.
No, just put it like, you know, put it like a little desert thing. A little desert thing.
Maybe. All right. So the house?
The house is great, but yeah, the yard sucks. I had to buy cleats. And... that still doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot. Came back here last week and mowed, got the whole front, backside, everything mowed in an hour and a half. Didn't even have to take one break. I was like, man, this is the best. I had never knew it was so easy to mow the yard.
Yeah. All right. So Four Points is a local Pittsburgh brewery here. They're on Western Avenue. And this is the Ceremonials. They're Bohemian Pils.
And I smell... the slight crackery breadiness that I would expect from a Pilsner.
Very bready.
A little bit of a hop, a little
spicy,
bit of a noble hop
spicy
thing.
Noble hop kind of aroma, for sure.
The color is, and there's a little bit of chill haze, which is expected. And the color is, yeah, like a really pale gold.
Yeah.
I find that the Bohemians are a little, there's a slight amber to it, right? Where like a Czech Pilsner, or I mean like Bavarian Pilsner is typically
like
more
pure straw. Yeah,
yeah. This one has a little more amber to it. It smells good.
It's good pils.
Tastes good. Yeah, no, it's got what you wanted. It fills the mouth with that kind of saltine-like breadiness. It's got a decent noble punch, so you're getting a little bit of slightly spicy, but really more kind of grassy note. In terms of the hops,
I'm getting a ton of sulfur.
You are?
Oh,
like,
you were?
Like DMS or something. Like, it's either that or it's just extreme hop bitterness. But
I think it's pretty hoppy. For sure, it's pretty hoppy. So if you're getting sulfur, that's where it's coming from. I'm not getting...
yours tastes watered down more than mine does.
I'm not getting, like, what I would expect with DMS is I would expect, like, canned corn.
Yeah, it's in yours, too. It's coating my entire mouth. It's kind of chalky now. I'm not.
Well, no, I've got the chalky in my mouth for sure.
Chalky in my mouth.
Greg, yours was the bottom of the can. So if it was yeast or something like that, I would expect you to have the slug of it. But
taste mine. I think mine weirdly tastes cleaner.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. And when you're under the microscope, a little bit goes a long way. Yeah. So. I see what you're saying, though. Yeah, there's a little bit more.
It's astringent. It's almost, that's what it is. It's astringent. It's like an oversteep tea or something like that.
Yes. Weird. So, can stratification. Who knew?
Yeah, it's Yeah, I don't know. I mean, from what I'm drinking, it's going to be hard for me to really get around it. The thing I don't like about what I'm tasting is like right in the middle and it's super wide.
Yeah.
So it's going to keep me from being able to get into
to enjoy it.
Good parts of this beer.
So I have three more of these. I mean, this will be fine as a drinker.
Yeah.
One of them I may just use to make some tempura batter or something, right? I mean,
that's things that we found really where when I drink the orphans from a show or whatnot, mm-hmm. If I'm watching TV or something, they always just go down. They're not complainable at that point.
Yeah, so. It's only when you're like...
You drank a Miller Lite the other night.
Yeah, they left.
Oh, that's fine. Miller Lite's fine. Like,
is it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's... I said, drinking a Miller Lite? And he's like, I needed hydration. And I was like...
Well, you don't get hydration from a beer.
That is mostly water.
Was a joke. Because it's fucking close to water.
Well, that's why you don't drink it on a canoe. But no, I thought we got rid of all that snobby stuff. Like, no, I'm fine with Miller Lite. In terms of light beers, I think Miller Lite's probably one of the best ones.
It's one of the beers that the former homeowners left in the fridge when they forgot that when they moved out and left everything in the fridge.
Everything in the fridge. Three dozen eggs.
Hey, make some omelet.
That's the only, like that and the beer, the only thing we kept. Everything else had to
everything
go
else.
In the trash.
Yeah, I didn't care. There was a whole gallon of milk that wasn't opened, but I just threw it away. Yeah, just like, no.
We did learn, wow, the previous homeowners.
Filthy.
Like the amount of cleaning we had to do was.
You mean me?
Stunning. I tore out the carpet.
Oh, yes, you tore out the carpet that we thought was charcoal gray.
Well, 30 years or plus
40
in a house.
But,
that's...
Yeah, but come on. You can clean your carpet.
Yeah.
I thought it was charcoal gray. It was light blue.
Yeah, we moved in and the dresser was gone. There was a light blue square.
Light blue. Not medium blue. Light blue.
Okay. Yeah, that's something.
It was disgusting. That, because I was going to put... carpet
I guess
in our bedroom.
If you don't change your carpet for and it's light struck, if you don't change your carpet for like 40 years, then it will, the dye will.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not going to turn almost black.
It was dirty. They had,
it was
it dirty, but yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty filthy. I mean, that was the only place I wanted to put carpet mm-hmm. in the whole house was in our master bedroom. And when I saw that and what was underneath the carpet when he pulled it up, I was like, nope, changed my mind. No carpet, none whatsoever.
It ruined her carpet for forever.
Yeah, no carpet.
I have a little portable Bissell like carpet cleaner thing that because I don't have much carpet in my place, but if something happens, I can do a little clean.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in this place, it's all wood, right? I mean,
yeah, it's all wood. I mean, we've got some rugs. Well, one of them's mm-hmm. over at the other house right now, but I think the other one's still in the living room, but... Yeah. Well, there's carpet upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to call it that. It's like indoor-outdoor kind of.
Yeah, it's the short piles. Stuff.
Like pool table, underneath the pool table type.
You play pool right on the floor. So, unfortunately, you decided to evacuate the rest of your beer.
Oh, no, I drank. Oh, I evacuated into my gullet, but I wasn't going to romance it.
Well, hey, what are you going to do? It's what, like I said, I pick it up today,
for sure.
Looking for something that's not, wasn't hazy.
Don't try. You're never going to discover the next best thing. All right. So since we're doing lagers, this is one that I brought back, Shannon and I brought back from our trip around the Finger Lakes last year. This is Solar Winds from Prison City. It's a fooder aged lager.
Okay. So it's aged for 638 days. What's the significance of 638? It's not 2 years.
I don't know.
356 plus 170.
Why don't you ask Copilot?
I think I got that right. that's a great idea. Let me ask Miss GPT. What would be the significance of the number 638 in terms of days?
Sure. Let's break it down. You got it. That's a year and about 9 months, give or take a few days, depending on leap years. So if you started counting,
looking at the
barrel, right. It's just how long it was in the barrel.
They won't be able to hear it, probably.
Well, right? It's in. I mean, it was a voice, so maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's give that a shot again, just in case. What is the significance of 638 in terms of days?
Ah, got it. So 638 days isn't a common milestone, like a full year or something.
Cuts out. Great.
Worries.
Yeah, and there's something weird going on with ChatGPT.
The microphones. It's what Copilot's voice mode does too, where it wants you to be able to interrupt it, but it does this whole weird pause, the interruptions.
It wasn't doing that when I was talking to it earlier. Something's going on with it, I think. Anyway, a year and 9 months or so.
They probably tasted it. And
yeah.
They probably tasted it every 3 months after a year. And they're like, now's the time to pull it, be my guess.
So mixed with it's aged with their house mix culture in their oak furter, brewed with Magnum hops, lager yeast, Pilsner malt, 6.1%.
Was very clear.
Yeah.
So from what I'm smelling, I'm expecting.
It has go ahead.
It's sort of a lactic fermentation thing.
Yeah, it's a lambic-y kind of thing. I'm smelling kind of like a cheese rind or something like that.
So I was recently in Boston. Mm-hmm. It was my niece's 21st birthday, the stuff going on there. My dad was up there and he's been up there for like a month. He just came down today, came back today. So I had a good time, except I made the mistake of not wearing off.
Oh.
And
yeah.
I mean, you can see.
You got destroyed, huh?
Oh boy. I got torn up like for 2 days, mostly in my legs is where I got it. But those things are alive and they are not nice. Mm-hmm. So the weird thing was it was sort of a delay because, you know, I got I started to get the redness and stuff. It started to show up. Then I had a couple things on like my hands and arms and those were fine. But the concentration, the amount that was on my leg.
Yeah.
Turned into not like itchiness, but just pure pain, distracting. Last weekend was horrible. I'm glad we didn't try to do a show last week because it would have been impossible. I had to finally get and everything I tried. I tried Tiger Balm. I tried the Benadryl cream. I tried, the only thing that some kind of worked was the 4% Gold Bond super medicated.
Okay.
That would work for a little bit, but no, it was hard to sleep. It was just the worst. Finally, now it just looks bad. Now it's just scabs, but just don't do it.
Shannon's got a similarly bad story.
Yeah, the very day that we closed on the house. Yeah, we were over there and I got stung by a bald-faced hornet.
Mm.
And, well, you can see the scar. See that?
Wow.
See that pink?
Big one. About the size of, a little bit smaller than a tennis ball. Maybe a little bit larger than a golf ball.
It was bigger than a tennis ball when it.
Yeah. I mean,
it
got
was
blisters.
Almost the size of my hand. The pictures are awful.
The blisters were crazy. So she drained the blisters, but then she got an infection. So she had to go on antibiotics.
Mm.
Yeah. A week later, I got up and I had red streaking going on. And I was like, okay, now it's time, but that sucked. That hurt. That was so painful the first 3 days, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it was that second night.
Yeah, there's
where
a whole
I
day
just
you
went
couldn't,
to I couldn't do anything.
Yeah, she had to lay down. She couldn't help work on the house.
No.
I know that. Yeah, I know what it, because that's what I got, because it was, again, it's not a single mosquito, even a couple is not gonna do it, but just there are like 30 or 40 here. Mm-hmm. It was just that concentration. And that's just on one side of my leg. I almost had one leg. It was on both legs. Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
I'm normally not that much of a magnet for mosquitoes, but I'm normally not running around outside during the summer that much anyway, because I hate summer.
Yeah, summer sucks.
Summer sucks.
So does winter. Spring and fall are great.
Like, I don't know why we have to qualify it. Summer just sucks, period. Winter doesn't have bugs.
No, it's definitely more tolerable when it comes to bugs. And
not a lot of winter
mosquitoes.
And we
won't have to mow the yard. No. That'd be great.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Definitely look forward to that.
Oh, shit, yeah.
No, winter, it gets a little chilly sometimes, and you got to put on extra clothing. You know,
oh,
that's not...
That's fine.
Yeah, and yeah, sometimes it sometimes you can get so cold it hurts. That's not great, but you go inside and you're fine. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather have that. Yeah. I'd rather be cold than hot any day.
Mm-hmm.
I hate. You can only take off so many clothes, and then it just doesn't help anyhow. Yes.
That's what July Shannon says. Ask her again in February.
I know. February, yeah, yeah. I'm complaining, and I'm the first to complain about every season, so.
But let's face it, you know, whenever I say summer sucks, everyone always says, well, what about winter? Doesn't winter suck? But you ever heard of fall?
Fall and spring.
Yeah.
Fall used to be my favorite time of the year. Now spring is because I get to thaw out a little bit, you know, but fall is like, oh shit, it's going to be dark like all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that I don't like the darkness. That's my biggest complaint, I think, about the winter is it being dark.
That was a real problem for me when I used to work in an office. Now I don't really care that much. Mm. Now it's fine. But yeah, when you would go in and it would be dark and you'd come out.
And it's dark. Yeah. Like this. What kind of life do I have?
Yeah.
That just sucks.
Yep.
On to the beer.
Yeah. On to the beer.
This is Solar Winds from Prison City. Has a light funkiness to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really it's not really that tart. It's not that sour. It's a little tart, but not that sour.
It's not at all what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be pretty tart.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to drink.
Quite.
It does seem like it's still like distinctly lagery as opposed to like a saison or something like that. Like, it's pretty clean, like in the estery, like there's not a big bunch of esters or anything. There's the malt flavor still in there.
It's definitely
behind.
There.
Yeah. And that's a nice thing about this is that aged a lot. So it has a lot of complexity to it, but it doesn't overwhelm the rest of the flavors that are there. The rest is sort of the underlying beer. So yeah, no, this is really nicely done.
It is.
And it looks like it was put in the bottle December of 2024. So it's got another year and a half on.
It couldn't have been December of 2024 because we were in the Finger Lakes before that.
Okay, then what's this number mean?
I don't
know. Or maybe it's the...
The expiration date?
It's B1224. I don't know. It's B... Maybe it's just batch 1224.
Oh,
that must be what it is. So.
Yeah. I like this.
Yeah, no, I'm a digging it. I'm digging it. And yeah, it comes through that it's a lager. It really does. I don't know, like, this is not a beer that I would expect to win over, like, people who are, you know, like beers. But this is a beer that I think is definitely different, but also respectful of all the little bits that you want. So yeah, I'm a fan.
I dig it.
I dig it too.
Mmm.
So another thing that I've been working on, real quick, the reason I was working on the stuff on my vacation is because on the second day of my vacation, the first full day, I was riding
24 hours, less than
riding a bike with my kids. They were the beach cruiser bikes that were like at the rental house. And we get down to the nature preserve and Max asks Allie if they want to race. And Allie's like, no, like I'll race you. Zach's like, okay, let's go. So up on the bike, I'm pumping as hard as I can, and the chain jumps off, and I will lose it and wipe out hard. I was completely tangled in the bike. The way it flipped over, I couldn't get out of it. If the kids weren't there, I would have had to wait for someone to come get me out of the bike.
Oh, really? You didn't tell me that.
Oh, yeah. I told you I was tangled up in it.
Well, I didn't know you were, like, literally tangled up in it.
I mean, maybe I could have gotten my wits and gotten out of it, but it didn't seem like it because I was hurting. Mm-hmm. And my leg was like flipped over and underneath the seat post. And anyway.
And you have flip-flops on.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm like, oh, we're just riding down the street with these beach cruisers. I can wear my flip-flops. So series of hijinks, if that up. But anyway, I didn't.
So we all got injured in various ways in our legs. Yeah.
But while I was at the rental house and couldn't go in the ocean or the pool or the hot tub because of open wounds, I did some digital housekeeping and kind of redid the CBR website and everything. So you guys, Greg found a couple mistakes that I pushed yesterday, so I'll get those fixed. But got it fixed. There'll be an episode index. I'm transcribing all of our old episodes. They're about half done. and having AI kind of help me do a bunch of different things with it. So we'll have new summaries, we'll have chapters, we'll have like interesting moments, like links to them. Oh, it will have a comprehensive list of all the beers tasted and the rankings. So
our show website is brand new. Doodah, doodah.
Yep.
Well, but we still have to update it because we just discovered I'm not on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we took a look at it and our bios are weird. Yeah, there's not, I do like the intro. I think that you did something with the very first page.
That I wrote a while back, yeah.
But yeah, the stuff about who we are and the show is a little, very, very out of date. But we talked a little bit about, we have these, is now we're recording on different, so because in order to get the transcripts right, we're recording on different
tracks.
Thank you. So that the transcriptor will know which audio is which person, which means that we can train an AI bot, LLM bot, whatever you want to call them, to use our voices. And then we can now interrogate them and bring them on. Because I really want to do that. I really want to get a me and a you and just like ask them weird questions and see what they say.
All right, we'll do it.
And a Shannon. Yeah, no, there's definitely enough Shannon. Yeah, you've been.
There should be.
There's maybe at least 30 plus episodes, right? So
one
episode will be enough to train the voice, and then you know the transcripts have who's speaking. So at least the new transcripts.
Yeah, the older ones. I don't think that the AI is good enough to do that.
No, I mean there is an option. I couldn't get it to work.
Yeah, I think that if you poured a bunch of computing resources into it, you might be able to get something better, but. Yeah. It still wouldn't be great.
Yeah, it's still the most expensive part of this whole thing. It costs about 80 cents an hour to transcribe the old audio, but I get credits through work, and mm-hmm. Shannon gets credits through work. So
we're using my credits too.
We have the old service that we paid for.
Yeah, but that's actual, this is, the credits are very soft money. So I'll just, like with the combination of my account and Shannon's account, we should be able to get through them all next month. So
I'm Batman.
And yeah, so I'm just excited to like make the website like pretty good with a little bit of effort, mm-hmm. and AI is doing a lot to help there. So
it's pure vibe coding, right?
Pretty much. I mean, you have to know enough to like set it straight when it starts lying to you.
Right. But you're not, but it's still a black box.
No,
you're telling it what to do.
No, I understand what it's doing. I mean, I can understand all the APIs and everything. But like the layout of the website, I was like, just generate me a new website, And so that's, it did the HTML too, mm-hmm. for the web. If it's good enough for something like Crafty Radio, it's good enough. It doesn't have to be great.
Yeah. So. No, I'm with you. We're not putting up a storefront and trying to sell, run a business here.
Right. So I figured the bar was really low to have AI just do all the things.
Yeah. I mean, I think that one of the things that's really cool and it does need to be updated, like I said, with a search thing. But we talked about it, is there's a list of all the beers we've done, linking to the shows that we've did them on, which is really neat. And that's going to be useful in a couple of ways. One of them is, when have we done this? Have we done this beer before?
I can also, so once I get the playback linking to like timestamps, I'll be able to link to when the bees start reviewing the beer too. So
that'd be really neat. Really cool. Okay, well, this is already much more hoppy. This is a...
Of course.
This is some kind of hazy...
Yeah, this is out of Norfolk, Virginia. I picked this up last week when we were down there.
Is this the Lone Pine?
No, this is the Benchtop. Oh. Benchtop Proven Theory India Pale Ale, brewed in Norfolk, Virginia. Thoughtfully brewed in Norfolk.
Thoughtfully? Virginia. Oh, well, they didn't just throw shit together. Flagship IPA brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, fermented with their fermented dry with our house English yeast. 7% Citra and Mosaic, like I said. Oh, they even tell you the malts. Yep. 2-row dextrin, flaked oats, flaked wheat, Vienna white wheat. It's a hazy.
Citra and Mosaic, my two favorite hops.
Look at the chunks I got.
Ooh, I've got the chunks. No, I got chunks. Lots of chocolate.
Oh, that smells great. It smells grapefruity, kind of orange.
Oh, God.
Clementine.
There's a little banana in there, too. Like, I think maybe it's just the tropical influences that's bringing that, like, a I feel like a reference to banana.
Where did we get it?
I picked this up at the Navy Beverage Exchange.
Oh, okay. Because I was trying to think.
My dad has a friend who's retired, and so we can go on to the Navy base or the Naval Air Base and buy beers and liquor there, and you don't pay tax.
It's so nice.
No tax.
Oh, yeah!
That's Macho Man Randy Savage. Right?
That is. Okay. R.I.P. Another.
Is it really R.I.P. for Hulk Hogan? He's kind of an asshole.
The question about R.I.P. is the Hulk Hogan one now, like, especially the last couple.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of tarnished.
It did. It's not
just the MAGA stuff. It was that whole lawsuit against Gawker.
That destroyed a lot of good stuff on the web.
Yeah.
Because it made Peter Thiel, like, have so much more influence than he should. Yeah.
And we lost Theo Huxtable too, you know.
Yeah, that's a real tragedy.
I know.
Like what happened?
Yeah.
Drunk swimming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with his family.
Man. Shouldn't have worn those sweaters when he was
I saw an old meme of, you know, who was the interviewer guy for WWF? Was it like Gene Okerlund?
Yeah,
like
Mean Gene Okerlund.
Mean Gene Okerlund was interviewing the Iron Sheik, and he's like, what do you think Hulk Hogan's last words were? And the Iron Sheik's like, the N-word.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. No.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
Yeah. Fuck He's an asshole.
All right, this beer smells delicious. Does it taste as good?
It's beautiful.
It's pretty bitter.
Almost piney. Like the first thing I taste.
I think it's from that last beer.
Yeah, well, I think I should have kept like the dregs, like the hoppy dregs out of our samples.
Mm-hmm.
Probably would have been more citrusy. I think we're getting a bunch of like bottom.
Well, I didn't get any dregs, so you tell me. I feel like.
Yeah, no, it's still pretty bitter. It's kind of bordering on pine.
Yeah. I mean, and this is Citra and Mosaic.
It shouldn't be that piney.
So where's that coming from?
Just a little too much of the dry hop, I think.
I think I'm still tasting the chalkiness from that first beer. So.
Oh, no.
That's not great.
Not great.
Yeah, no. Perfectly quaffable.
Yeah. Yeah, but for review-wise, again, this is kind of a one-note beast as well, where it's just all that piney bitterness up front.
It smells so much better than it is today.
How old is it?
It's...
I'm wondering if I'm tasting, like, because it feels like it doesn't have... It has, like, a core, but it doesn't have any of the outside, if you will, like, mm-hmm. any of the stuff that...
45 days.
It's young.
Fresh.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of young, we had a young little baby fawn, poor thing, laying against our house in this little, like, what would you call that?
Alcove.
And I think it was hiding. It was storming right before we left to come back to this house. And so we were coming up the steps with Cooper, and Cooper right there. I think he licked it.
He touched a deer today.
He touched the deer.
He didn't get his teeth on it or anything.
No.
He touched a deer.
Yeah.
And that poor little thing, it still had spots.
You're gonna have a hard time getting me to really care much about deer.
I don't. No. I don't.
Fuck those things.
But when they're babies, I do. You know.
I mean that.
To the Hulk Hogan's.
That's wildlife. The time when it's best to cull them because like.
I know, but.
They're just big rats, and they're not as personable as rats. At least rats are like clever.
And rats, they don't carry ticks.
No, rats carry other diseases like plague.
Yeah,
but that's at least so it's not better. Ticks.
We picked a tick off of me. What, the day after I got stung by that hornet?
First day or was you cut the grass out there, yeah.
I'm like, this place, Tranquility Base, my ass.
Yeah, we started calling it Tranquility Base because it's in Apollo.
I see. Yeah.
Yes. And
then I realized after she got stung that what was the rescue ship for Apollo 11?
The rescue ship?
Yep.
The recovery ship. The recovery ship.
Oh.
Foreshadowing.
Take a wild guess.
Foreshadowing. Which aircraft carrier do you think it was? She got stung by a hornet. the USS Hornet was the recovery ship.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten that one in a million years.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, I'm pretty sure the Hornet was the recovery ship for Apollo 11. And it was.
I'm like, I want to move back to Tyler Road.
Well, the Eagle. What was the command? The Eagle, what was the
Eagle
lander?
Was the lander, which became Serenity Base when it touched down.
Right.
And the command module, it probably does have a name. I can't
think of it. I'm sure it had a name. I know it had a name. I don't, it's not coming to me. Mm-hmm.
If only we had some just kind of a device that would tell us.
Yes.
Let's call Mike Collins up and see.
What was the name of the command module for Apollo 11? Columbia.
Oh, yes, of course.
Hmm.
Yeah, that one's not great.
Oh, well. Yeah. Can only go up from here.
It smelled so good. It was like...
You're setting yourself up for some...
I know. Tempting fate.
There were definitely things that I like had to talk about. Now I'm blanking on so much of this stuff. But I was looking into other reptiles to perhaps...
Okay.
Oh, really?
Get...
Mm.
I think that definitely the thing that is probably tops on my list is a crested gecko.
Oh, cool.
You should talk to Tori about them. She might be able to hook you up with one. I mean, she doesn't have any, but mm-hmm. she might know somebody here in the area.
There are such like great breeders and stuff online that I know now that... That's what I probably do, but
Tori only knows about the ones that are whack and kind of being. She doesn't know about like pedigree ones.
Yeah, but I want to like set up a nice enclosure with a misting system, so I don't have to worry about misting it. But one thing that I talked to some people about them, and one thing I was worried about was like, okay, the thing that I know about the two reptiles I have is I can leave them alone for 5 days and they'll be fine.
Uh huh.
The question was, can I deal with a crested gecko?
Right.
They eat more often and. You know, they need that misting. Well, as long as I have a misting system, you can apparently just sort of leave some food in there. And the great thing about crested geckos, for anybody who is in any way curious, is their food is just it's a powder you mix with water.
Hmm.
You don't need to worry about insects or nice. Rodents or anything like that. It's just a powder. I mean, you can supplement them with insects. It's probably a good idea.
Can they, like, drink from a gerbil bottle or something like
that? They usually drink like the mist droplets that are on the leaves and stuff in their enclosure. And they can drink from little little bowls and stuff too, but they tend to, at least the wild ones tend to not even recognize that standing water. They only sort of see droplets and stuff. But the ones that are these days, you know, because they're captive bred, they can drink from a bowl just fine. It's weird because crested geckos are so interesting to species. They're from New Caledonia. They were thought to be extinct. And then some biologists like found some on like a journey. And I think they're still probably endangered, but they are huge in the pet trade. One of the biggest reptiles because they're very easy to care for. They are... personable. They're not aggressive. They jump a little bit. They're geckos in the traditional sense in that they stick to things.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Tori had one.
Yeah,
one
no, I know Tori had okay. one. I remember seeing it. They are the only negative, if you want to call it that, is that they have a tail that they can drop and it won't grow back.
Yeah.
But that's fine. So when they drop the tail, they're usually called frog butts. It looks kind of like a frog butt. But they're fine. Like they'll take a couple weeks in to get used to their new jumping style because now their balance is all different. But then they're good. But yeah, they're really handleable, which is what I want. I like the reptiles that are very handleable and they're not going to be a hard thing to deal with, and that they can deal with time away if I need to get the time away.
Right.
That's all. That's like really important to me. So that's why I can't have something that needs everyday attention.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
It's just not going to work for me.
Yep.
Like Cooper.
Yeah. No, like the thing about dogs are, I think one of they're really mid-level pack. And if you rank pets in terms of what I'm looking for, they're mid-level. And I think sort of on an objective level, I think that they're kind of mid-level. Now, don't get me wrong. Dogs give you something that no other pet can give you.
Mm-hmm.
No other pet can give you. So dogs are like the most loyal and the like most loving things, perhaps on the planet. And we've bred them to be that way, but they are, in terms of like how you have to deal with them, they become a lifestyle. They become basically like
sure do
little kids you have to deal with all the time.
And then you find out your dog has a heart disease, and
yeah,
then it becomes an even bigger.
The amount of money you spend on vet stuff. I mean, like I've spent good money on even just Penrose's vet stuff when I was, you know, scared about her shit. But so it's not like pets aren't challenged in any way.
Oh no, yeah, yeah.
But with dogs, with mammals in general, you're going to be paying more often. I mean, better, bigger metabolisms.
I'm just glad we have pet insurance on them.
Yeah. I think that the worst pet you can imagine in terms of taking over your life, birds.
I don't hate birds, but I hate to see birds in a cage in a house. It makes me sad.
I get that.
I understand why people have them, and I'm not judging people for having them. I just couldn't do it.
But you can get things like macaws that are like,
they
go in the
awesome.
Cage at night, and then they just come out during the day, and they're just, you know, they're around. Mm-hmm. And you have to.
It's a commitment for the rest of your life, commitment. Pretty much.
Like, yeah. Super big. And they, if you don't have a friend for them, they're going to be requiring your attention constantly.
Yeah.
They can live 50 years.
Yes.
So.
Yep. If I got one now, it would outlive me.
Yeah.
I'd have to.
Yeah.
Will it to one of my kids. I wouldn't have to worry about
it. If you want to get him a call, you have to not only be super into it and like have a lot of disposable income, you also have to have people who will be able to handle the macaw for you whenever you have anything that comes up.
Remember that one that was at that winery that we went to?
Yeah.
That was crazy. If it couldn't see the lady that was there, it wasn't even her bird. She was watching the bird for the owners.
Yeah.
But she worked there. It was just her working. And as soon as she turned the corner and that macaw couldn't see her, it just started squawking.
Mm.
And
like the loudest
going
thing too.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, this is nuts. I mean, she had to bring it out so it could see.
You need to bring that to like a behavioral specialist, of which there are.
Oh,
like,
I'm sure there are.
Stuff like that. You know, I've gone down various different, you know, animal husbandry rabbit holes. You know, when I was a kid, I started with fish. Fish are, I think, horrible pets.
They are.
It's a lot more work than you expect. You can't handle them.
No. All you can do is look at them.
Look at them. And they're neat to look at.
And then you have to clean their tanks.
Yeah, and clean their tanks. Like, there are, like, reptiles that you don't touch, like a day gecko, you know, other things like that. Day gecko is not going to attack you, but if you touch it, its skin will come off. It's this defense mechanism. It's not a good idea to, like, be handling some of these pets, but at least the cleaning is not as hard as it is a friggin' aquarium.
I hate aquarium.
Lost them out of fish tank. It was just a battle. Could never get it to get that balance where it wasn't stinky all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you have to have real good, like, you have to pay for top of the line shit in order for your aquarium to be in good shape. And you can do it. You have to put a lot of effort into it and maintain it. But you can do it. But is that what you want to do?
No. I am so glad that we're on the same page, too, because I have a trauma from my childhood with fish, so I don't want aquariums in my house. When my brother was young, he got a goldfish, and I came home from school, and I walked in the room. I guess it was in my brother's room, and anyways, I stepped on something slimy.
Oh, no. It jumped out?
It had jumped out, and I stepped on it with my bare foot. I can't feel it today, but I could 20 years ago. I mean, it took me forever to get over that. But it wasn't dead. We put it back in the tank, and then it had babies the next day.
Oh, wow.
You saved its life. You saved the life of a bunch of fishes.
Well, no, I mean,
goldfish can breathe air. That's one of the reasons why they can survive in little tanks.
Yeah.
They can just go to the top and just breathe air from they just pull into their swim bladder, and it works great for them. Same with like betta fish. That's why betta fish can live in those tiny little things, because they can just breathe air.
Huh.
That said, like I did have a goldfish that I probably got when I was, I don't know, 7, and it lived 8 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Happy.
Happy.
Happy, my first pet. And I didn't take the best care of it, but that thing was...
It was happy.
It was unlike any other, or the vast majority of goldfish, in that it was a hardy little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it lived in a bowl its whole life. It eventually got aeration, and it got little decorations and stuff like mm-hmm. that, but it never did more than that. But it lived. Sucker lived. Who knew?
Yeah. Well, if I walk probably past a goldfish, like, you'll see me.
Probably got it from a fair.
You probably did. When tossing the little ping pong balls.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, a feeder goldfish that was like, you know,
yeah.
it's like a hundredth of a cent or something.
All right. So we have the burial beer.
Oh,
epitaph of our beloved. This is a barrel-aged golden ale with their wild cultures.
It's 5.5%. Do you want me to read this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you don't have to.
I'm just...
You sighed. It's okay. You don't have to, I thought.
I'm just sighing because I don't know what it says. And I read the first line. I was like, okay.
Is it like a stone label?
Yeah. But so I don't know how rambly it's going to be. We'll see. And I'll decide about halfway through if I want to continue. A thesis. So again, the name of it is Epitaph of Our Beloved, which burial is a lot of these... We talked about it. They're weird names. A thesis on the subject of living matters. Stay among peace. Find yourself. Rest alongside this altar. It remains where you always need it. Our most personal expression of our wild program, the 7th and final panel to be unveiled, is indeed one that began right here upon our dirt in our first ever taproom space. The simplest and most beloved indeed. This cuvée marks 6 long years of making this beautiful tale of death and rebirth. The product of our locale, this spontaneous beer was made with Asheville City water.
Asheville City flood water.
Riverbend malt barley and wheat, house-aged hops, and the tidings of the air around us. Left to ferment in the open air beneath our taproom peach trees, parentheses, across from the Sloth and Selleck mural, close parentheses.
Mm.
Each year the beer rests for varying lengths of 1 to 3 years. The nose on this beer is special, filled with juicy white nectarine fuzz, whipped lemon curd, and Loire-grown Chenin Blanc. I don't know if I pronounced any of that right.
Lemon curd?
L-O-I-R-E. Grown Chenin, C-H-E-N-I-N, and I know what Blanc is, but that's a wine, right? Grapes?
Yeah.
The culture will continue its residency at Burial by taking over our Brunello food, allowing us to offer you this 3-year blend each year. Okay, that's not bad.
That was beautiful, Greg. Thank you so much. Mm. I'm so glad that you read that.
Did I dramatic
it's making
reading.
Me enjoy this beer so much more.
More sour. That's sort of the first thing I taste.
That's funny.
Kind of a citric acid hit.
It's funny that they mention the Sloth and Selleck mural. It's painted on the outside of the building. It's Sloth from Goonies and Tom Selleck with their arms around each other. It's, I have a picture of it somewhere.
I do not have a Tom Selleck sound. So I don't know what that would be.
I don't know. They also have a black velvet painting of Tom Selleck inside the tap room.
Oh, they do.
So.
Mm-hmm.
What was Tom Selleck's TV show?
Magnum P.I.,
right.
Yeah, the aroma on this one wasn't very open, at least before.
Yeah.
But now, like, getting all these kind of, like, tart fruit flavors, like
strawberry.
Kiwis.
Or actually cherry. It's not char. I'm tasting a lot.
I mean, there's so much citric acid that it's very Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, it's playing around with the different kind of fruits. So, like, yeah. I'm getting guava, but it.
Like, I mean, like, you could very much simulate this by just getting some citric acid powder, which I do have at home, and like putting it into a beer, and you get like a lot of that just tang right away.
Uh-huh.
There are other things in here too, but I think those fruits. We're mostly picking up on them because of the citric acid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably. I'm getting kind of like it's reminding me just overall as like kind of I was going to say cheesecake, but I guess it's more specifically like a graham cracker crust kind of flavor that I'm getting from the malts or something like that.
Oh, try it again here.
Okay. I'm focusing my tongue microscope.
No.
Searching for it.
I can taste it on the back.
Tongue microscope. That's a new one.
It's a good one, though.
It feels dirty to me, even though it's not.
It could
like
be
manhole.
Dirty. I mean, like, I mean, if you use your tongue microscope good, you get to find all the hard to find spots.
But see, it's snakes that have tongue microscopes because they flick their thing around and then they pull it back. And it's not like a wet tongue like a dog. It's a dry tongue, but it collects chemicals and then they bring back, they have an organ under their like at the top of their mouth that detects chemicals. So that's why they're always flicking around, because it's a sensory tool, but that is their tongue microscope for sure.
Do you know if it's directional? Like,
oh yeah, why it's spiked. That's why it has two.
Oh, okay, so it kind of goes into two different things, so they know left or right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Huh.
Yeah, very, very sensitive.
Do you Is it more than just left and right? Like, can they form like an image of the environment?
I mean, no one knows what a snake is, you know, we can do tests and stuff to determine that there is definitely a directionality that they can determine. And you will actually see their tongue sometimes go in different. That's one way you could tell a snake is not going to bite you or is not in any aggressive mood. If its tongue starts to go in, not straight out, but like flicks around the side a little bit. Because then it's just more curious.
Mm-hmm.
You learn. I mean, when you have a snake, you start to learn how to read snakes, or at least pythons and boas and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I can read because I know what the general, you know, feeling is, and you can tell when they're stressed, when they're ready to strike, when they're hungry, and when they're just, what's going on? This is interesting. And that's the fun part. And I actually had for me out today and like when I was talking to my dad, and I had for me like crawl around on my face. And dad was like, you don't worry about that? I was like, I would so worry so much about Cody, which is my sister's dog, about being near my face than
the snake. Yeah.
Yeah, and Fermi is not at all. First of all, he's very comfortable around me. He knows that that I'm not going to hurt him. And he might be a she, by the way. That's a different story.
Oh, yeah?
It got large enough that spotted pythons don't really get that large unless they're female, I think.
Oh.
But, you know, like, yeah, it's not interested in me as food. It's interested in me as textures. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so it's like, and I can also tell when it, like, I'm also holding it partially. It's not, Fermi's not getting tense. Like, you know, not like really holding onto something strong. That's when the flicks are big and sort of long and varied, not like tiny little ones or stuff like that.
I mean, you know, she went through a phase like about the time you got her where she was very.
Yeah, well, she did new environment. And I fully expect, you know, when I move that, like, I'm going to leave Fermi alone for like 3 weeks. Just get used to new smells, new environments.
But like
that.
You know, well before that, very handleable.
Allie
had her crawling on her glasses, you know, on her face and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When she was in a comfortable place and she knew the smells and she knew everything, and it was or he, whatever it is.
They.
It.
It's just, they're going through a change.
Yeah, when they're comfy, when snakes are comfy, they're not at all interested in biting you. It's just not their, it's not their thing. They're, when they're not in food mode and they're not scared, they're just curious or they're sleepy.
Yeah. And I keep yawning. Sorry.
It's all right. We've had a busy week.
Ugh.
I am really enjoying this beer. Now that I'm getting a little more used to the sour, I am. You know, you mentioned Citra Gossip before. I swear I'm like pulling out like not just like guava flavors, but almost like some of the subtexts of guava, like a kind of a creaminess or something like that. You know, like probably a better way to describe those are like front flavors of it.
Sorry, I want to look up something. Keep talking.
It's very tart for me. I really like it, but
you mentioned subtext.
I know writers who use subtext, and they're all cowards.
That's from Gareth Marenghi's Dark Place. It's hard to describe. It's a British series, like 6 episodes. Just watch it. It's so funny, so meta, really great.
Will do. We had a good time watching. We haven't watched since we've been doing the move stuff, but catching up on a bunch of the.
I watched Superman.
Well, the Dropout episode.
Oh, did you watch the one I told you to watch?
Yes.
Yes or no? Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. Yes or no is like peak. Like, okay, I see what Brennan's character is.
Yeah. We watched it, but I'm pretty sure you had us watch it one night here because we had seen it before.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, okay. We both have seen it before, but okay. It was worth watching again.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Some of those are like, some of the ones in the, like, I'm having a hard time thinking, but the one where they, you had to spot the person who was drunk was.
Oh so my good. Gosh. That was great.
Such a fucking
or the Secret Sober. The Secret Sober.
The Secret Sober, was great because of how they let it. And then the rug pull at the end was just so
it
well
was
done.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're not going to spoil exactly what it is. I'll let you discover that on yourself, but get the Dropout app and watch
Game Changer.
Game Changer. Yeah.
Why can't I think of that?
I couldn't think of it either.
I've been here the whole time.
The whole time. I think of that every time. Anything that comes up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I knew that the whole time. I always say, the whole time.
Yeah. The one where, I think it was the end of a season, maybe it was like the last question of the game was run.
Oh yeah, that was a Sam Says, right?
Yeah. Oh, Sam Says. Yeah, Sam Says run.
Yeah.
And so they had to figure out what do I do to find the game?
Yeah.
Here, and Allie went all the way to New York City, across the country.
That was great. I don't know if you've seen Escape the Green Room yet. Highly recommend that episode.
I haven't seen that one. I don't think. So, yeah, once we got on your app, we kind of started watched the most recent season, then we're kind of going backwards because we figured a lot of the older ones we've seen on YouTube already. So we were
right. Yeah. A lot of the first couple of seasons you've probably seen on YouTube. And also, you see how the concept has evolved. Mm-hmm. As you can see, sort of like, and some of the ways in which it evolved from to now, where it's so much more about screwing with people and fucking people.
Like, watching the behind the scenes is really good. I didn't watch them for a while, and then I'm like, oh, these are so good.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of is sad that there won't be any more Sam Says, but or probably won't be.
Probably won't be. Well, I mean, it's just it's a good. Yeah, I don't know. What there won't be any more of is. Did you see the one just from this season? Where they had the things that they stuck on them in the wheel.
I don't think I've seen that one. No.
Oh, boy. Is it
one of the newer ones?
Yeah.
Okay. We haven't watched them in like a month. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, there was one this season that is, they won't be able to do it again. But I mean, in theory, they can do it again, but you just see it and you'll understand sort of why. But it was such a great idea. And so well played. They had a big Price is Right wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave them then like characteristics that they had to Velcro on them and then keep doing those characteristics. One of them was do a Christopher Walken voice.
Oh boy.
Oh my God.
That's awesome. I'll have to watch that.
Yeah.
What was so I saw on like YouTube Shorts that where Brennan had announced he was leaving.
That was the most recent
to do American Girl Dolls.
Right. The most recent one was a kind of Shark Tank inspired thing where they pitch they were getting pitches for the what's the most viral video. And technically it's not over yet because they will choose the winner after a month, and it hasn't been a month yet. But
okay. Yeah, because I saw the viral video pop up, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm leaving Dropout. Like, what? And then, could tell it was a bit after like maybe the first 15, 20 seconds, but it was a good bit. Oh, the 1 year later one was so good.
Yeah, that came right after Sam's history, which was really funny. Yeah, no, like this season has been really pretty spectacular.
Yeah, good stuff. So go on YouTube and watch Game Changer. And then when you watch everything that's free, subscribe to the Dropout app and watch the rest because it's so good.
Or find a friend who has Dropout because Dropout is okay with you sharing passwords.
For now.
Yeah, I mean, they like being a small little company that, like, they're really great to both their performers and their crew. They gave everybody some, like, last year, and they intended to continue to have some profit sharing. As they've grown, they've marked. I'll tell you, here's a good example of how much they care and how much their fans like that they care. They changed it so that they added $1 to the subscription price, but everybody who is on the old subscription price keeps the old subscription price. And there were people who were like, can I cancel and get the new subscription price? Because I want to give you guys the extra $1
or whatever. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, there were a lot of people who were saying that.
Huh.
I kept the one that's, I have the yearly, and it's like $45.
For the year?
Yeah.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, and you, like, watch everything.
I watch Dimension 20, which is their live play.
Role-playing.
Dungeons Dragons and other role-playing game stuff. But yeah, I watch a lot of shows on there. Not every show, but I do watch a lot of their shows. And I like Smarty Pants. It can vary in its quality, but it can be good. I do like the new one, Parlor Room, where they play different tabletop games and you get an idea of what
it's like. On your laptop there.
Oh, it should be okay. I've never, some of them, like, I've never played like Taboo, and I was like, oh wow, that looks like it'd be fun to play. They play like other more complicated ones, but they play like Taboo and Balderdash, and they're like, oh.
Balderdash is one of our favorites.
We love to play that we play that with the family a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's fun, except my brother-in-law, he's not very good at the game. So he'll go for like the easy jokes, so he'll just write down the most absurd things. And he never, ever does well, right? Because you can always pick his out. So the second to last time.
That's kind of the fun of playing.
When
people drop it, there was at least one player who just made the most absurd things because that was more funny than. Sometimes it's just not about winning. It's just about
having fun. But
what we did was we all colluded against him. We're like, okay, everybody pick Brian's answers. Mm-hmm. And then he started out the game like not being absurd about it. So like it wasn't obvious which answers were his. So then we had to like introduce cheating. So like we had to give a cue when we were reading Brian's answer out. So everyone knew to pick Brian's answer. And then he won the game and he was so excited.
He was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it was. It was like the best day of his life, aside from when he graduated with his doctorate, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That was probably a better day, but it was so funny because then.
And then I had to break. I actually felt bad because he was so excited about winning that I had to tell him that we had colluded against him and cheated.
Part of the game, man. Part of the game. But no, like it looks like a lot of fun to play, and I'd like to play one of those games sometime.
Yeah, Taboo's good too.
We have both. Oh, do we have Boulder Dash? Just your mom has.
My mom has Boulder Dash.
Yeah.
Timeless. The game's from the freaking 80s, and the words are still good. You know?
They need to come up with a new one, though, like we talked about.
All right, post-show, let's bring out some Taboo, and let's try it.
Oh, all the games are packed.
All right, well,
sorry.
Maybe we can pull out some stuff, some Taboo questions on our computers.
All right, so
Which one's this? This is
from Lone Pine Brewing in Portland, Maine. From our trip up there several years ago. This is their Oak Age Golden Strong. It is a barrel aged 11.8%.
Whoa.
This Brettanomyces fermented golden ale aged a year on oak.
Yeah, these days, and this is not from what I'm looking at, it's not necessarily their standard, but it is nice when a beer is just called what it is.
Bottled January 15th, 2022.
11.8, like you said, oak-aged, dark ale with medium high acidity and sweet aromas. They say fruit punch and sangria.
Ooh.
What it reminds me, when I was in Boston, we went to a place that was, I guess, a Dominican restaurant.
Okay.
Then went there with my dad and got, I was looking at, there's lots of really cool stuff on there, but when I saw that there was a, what was it? It was a lamb stew. I was like, oh, yeah, give me some of that. Like, cause that's going to have all the cool spices and all the stuff and traditional stuff. And then my dad it was goat stew that I got, goat. My dad didn't want goat.
Okay.
But then they said there's an oxtail stew. I said, I don't want ox. I said, no, oxtail is just a cow's tail. It's fine. You'll be fine. And he got that.
We were just driving back.
Yeah, there's a place over in Penn Hills on Rhode Island Road, the food trailer. Mm-hmm. There's a new place called Steel Goat. And it's kind of a marketplace for like small businesses kind of thing. And yeah, there's a food truck there. It was an oxtail something or another, probably a barbecue place or something.
It was.
I don't know. We'll have to go check it out sometime.
I'm trying to think of what was.
But the reason why this reminded me of it is we also had the sangria as a drink. That was there, and it was interesting. It was a little sweeter than I would have expected, but it was good.
The aroma on this one is hard to place. I mean, sweet ish.
Oh,
there's a honey thing on there. Did you get
honey?
Yes, definitely honey.
That's it. Like honey, kind of honey and toffee, or honey and toffee. I go toffee.
Yeah, a little kind of peanut brittle-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Flavor's weird. Tastes like my first thing I get is Malto. Have you ever had Malto? Kind of the barley malt soda from like South America?
Yes, I have. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. But Malto is more wordy. Yeah. It tastes like a wort almost.
Yeah. But this has those flavors to it. Is kind of
not as much to me. No. I'm getting more of, again, the honey thing coming along. It's also pretty high in alcohol. So this is the first one that you know, is really like, ooh, is high. Uh-huh. But not. It's not particularly viscous, so it's not that. It's just that, ooh, right away you feel the hit of, okay, that's a lot of alcohol.
It's almost a little spicy. It's from the alcohol. The alcohol is kind of coming across a touch spicy to me, almost like a hot honey.
There is, yeah there is like a,
yeah,
I think almost either a coriander hit, like the,
okay,
like powder coriander or the other one that's really strong that I can't think of as
like a clove.
No, it's, you're using Indian cardamom. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a cardamom thing going on here.
Yeah, it could be a little bit, yeah. It's good. It's, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know you don't taste the Malta as much. I think it has a kind of that wordy kind of that flavor mixed with honey.
I taste it underneath there, but it's not as,
okay,
as wordy. Like, I remember there was a beer, maybe it was last show or the show before, that was really wordy, and I really enjoyed that it was so wordy that it was like that smell that you get when you go into a brewery and it smells like like malted barley.
Yeah. Like,
and I just, in like drink form, and like, it was like something about that is really enticing to me. It's not the most enticing thing in the world, but it's very, I don't know, comforting.
Mm-hmm.
I like this.
Yeah. It's kind of a drink it slow kind of thing at 11.5%.
And the interesting thing is they call it a dark ale.
It says golden ale in the bottle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Golden strong. Maybe they have a similar one.
No, they.
Oh, they call the golden strong a dark ale?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I guess it's darker than like
a
straw pale color. Ale. it's much more in the bronze area.
It's funny going through all the summaries and transcripts and everything. Kind of, you remember these things.
Dark ale.
Oh, wild. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's a cut and paste mistake right there.
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, that could be.
Remember the time we got that micro craft brewing board game that we tried to play? Where you like make your own beers and try to sell them and stuff?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Came across like the summary for that show. It's like, wow, forgot completely about that. And then also looking through the beer list, like, oh yeah, we did that. Like, and things like that were kind of bigger things we did, which I hadn't thought about in forever. Like when we went up to Shoe Brew and did that whole vertical epic tasting.
Yep. No, I remember that. That was also when I brought mealworms for everyone to eat.
Mealworms?
Yeah, like dried mealworms. What? Wait, why?
It's
why?
Food. Just eat it.
No.
You eat seafood?
I'm not going to eat mealworms.
She ain't going to eat mealworms.
No. Nope.
Next subject.
I eat a lot of seafood and, you know, crazy stuff, but.
Crabs and.
Yeah.
Lobsters and shrimp. All.
I know.
Part of the pancrustacea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the dirty things that we're not supposed to eat.
Mm-hmm. But the mealworms are just smaller little shrimp. They're land shrimp. Tiny land shrimp. Crawfish.
I don't eat crawfish
either. You don't eat crawfish.
No.
I love crawfish. I mean, they're annoying because they're small. You don't get a lot of meat out of them, but they are tasty. Love crabs. Oh, I love crabs.
I love crabs. Yeah.
This is the Lone Pine Oak Age Golden Strong.
It's very delightful.
Do you believe still have beers from our Portland trip?
We're going to have to go back when we run out.
We are.
One thing that's interesting is next year, it's looking like, and it's not certain, but it's looking like I may be going, and because instead of going to Cape Cod after my mother passed, it's looking more like we're going to change our tune, at least this year, next year, and go to Rome.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting.
That's cool.
Very nice.
Hang out with the Pope.
I don't know if we're going to Vatican City. One thing that my dad and I are totally, when we talked about it, we were like both really interested was checking out Pompeii. That'd be so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like lots of awesome ancient shit there.
Yeah.
Also
I've never really thought about going to Rome. I mean, part of it I know is like, it's like New York City, like super built up, but it was but around there and also in the city is some of the oldest history kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you could probably make it cool without falling into what, you know, the average person does.
Yeah. I mean, like it would be me, my father, my sister, my brother-in-law, and maybe my niece and nephew as well. So that would be the people who would be there.
Yeah.
And so not a huge contingent of people and relatively easy to figure out. I would certainly do any extra cooking that we do, but we'd probably go to a lot of restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
When I was in Boston, I got better and better. I'm still not perfect at it, but I got better and better at my smash burger technique.
Okay.
So still got to work on it. Still a work in progress, but getting better. I do think that smash burgers are kind of the best burgers.
Oh, like, they are.
They
definitely are.
I mean, you can have a classic burger with ridiculous toppings, and mm-hmm. those Ooh. Are good.
What?
The home automation just thought the light was left on unnecessarily.
Oh, okay.
Decided to turn it off. So anyway.
We just lost, a light just turned off. That's
last year we had a thing where stuff was going crazy and I had to go.
It was right after we got back from
I had to go in and like delete like all the smart sequences and stuff because one of them was just the cloud, right? One of them was just run amok in the cloud and lights were turning off all the time on us.
It was crazy. I'd be sitting in the living room and the light would just come on and it would go off and then another one would come on.
I thought it was like the IoT broker or something got our account confused with somebody else. So someone else somewhere was calling a command out and our lights were turning on and off. That's what I thought was happening. I deleted all the automations, it stopped. So
this is one of those things that, you know, that people who rely more and more on AI are finding out is that I will just decide to do shit. You know what? Like, my friend was making something that was doing, and he had to do a bunch of error, like unit tests to do stuff. And one of the unit tests, when it came back, it said, because it was failing a lot of unit tests. And so it said, okay, well, I decided to skip these unit tests. So now it's good. Yeah. It's like, even if you tell it explicitly not to, it will just.
There's a story that someone posted, found on some tech blog or something, where apparently AI had access to the production database and just thought it was.
I read that on ours.
To delete the database.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think they managed to. You know, that's why you make backups. Mm-hmm. Well, there has been situations at work where, like, especially a smaller company doesn't necessarily have the most secure shit all the time, and so like a ransomware thing hits, but you got a backup, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. name our AI a little Tommy Drop Tables.
Tommy Drop Tables.
Call back to an XKCD.
XKCD.
Yeah, there's an old XKCD where, you know,
it's a comic strip for nerds.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the joke making sure that your school has, you know, good input sanitization, right? So they name their son Tommy Drop Tables semicolon.
yes.
Or Tommy semicolon Drop Tables or something.
When you're using databases and stuff like that, semicolons generally say the end of a statement and new statements continue afterwards. Yeah. So if you aren't properly sanitizing your data, then you can induce what's called SQL injection and cause your, by entering in something into like a form on a website, cause it to do crazy stuff because you're, that's what the whole SQL injection is. That's what the joke is about.
Yeah. So if your kid's name was Tommy Drop Tables and their database wasn't set up right, putting his name in could have deleted the database.
Because it did a semicolon and drop tables and just says, oh, drop everything.
Jeez.
It's a good old joke.
So this is Oxtail?
This is Oxbow.
Oxbow.
A stainless aged farmhouse ale, mixed fermentation saison brew with 100% main grown ingredients, 5.5%.
It's got to be great.
Keep cool and dark. Comes in a green bottle. Enjoy this within 5 years.
Well, it's only been
first thing two I or three. Smell was skunk.
Stop banging skunk? On the table.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Well, maybe it's a saison. Maybe it's like, yeah, saison.
I mean, it is a saison. It's a saison. I think, yeah, I think right. It's an expectation.
That's why they put it
in a green bottle.
But it is slightly light struck. But there's other things in there too. So, Shannon, green bottles aren't good for keeping beer from getting skunked. UV light can get in there and
okay.
You can listen to an early episode, but I remember a lot of it.
Now that we have summaries, we can find it.
Which is that there's a photonic reaction that occurs when photons hit a certain, it's an isoprenyl mercaptan that is created. Hops.
Uh-huh.
Hops that are used in stuff.
ELI5, Greg, ELI5.
Hops that are used in beer. They have sulfury compounds and stuff. Those are things that, you know, give it all the flavors and my antimicrobial properties and other stuff that hops are used for it online. There is a, when you boil them, they do something called, when you cook certain proteins and certain things, they do something called isomerize. They slightly change their configuration. And one of the things that comes out of the change configuration of hops, which are humulus, something like that.
Isohumulin.
Isohumulin is the name of the compound. The compound, when it gets hit by a certain energy of light, can break off a radical, a part of it, that will then find other sulfur compounds and create this isoprenyl mercaptan. Now, mercaptans are really aromatic sulfur compounds that they use, for example, in
natural gas
to make sure you can smell them, because natural gas is odorless. Mm-hmm. But also it's very, very similar to the smells that skunk make.
Mm.
Or smells that come off of other similarly, like cousins of the hop plant, such as marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
That is what happens. That's what light striking does to create. That's why light causes that to happen. If you didn't hit it with light, it wouldn't have that.
Right.
Chemical reaction that then causes the whole cascade. Brown glass is really good at keeping out the light. Green glass, not so much. It's the higher energy light that generally does it, and brown keeps a lot of the higher energy light out. Green, not as much, and so you get some of the light struck.
We should have kept that in a brown paper bag.
It's been in the fridge for.
I know.
The light striking is from it sitting on the shelf before it.
Yeah, but the weird thing is that there's a tradition in saison making, because like the very first saisons, and like the archetypal saison, Saison DuPont, is always in green bottles because they actually think that some of that adds a character, some of that skunking adds a character to the beer.
Oh, okay.
So that's, they did it in homage to that.
Uh-huh.
So Oxbow did it in homage to Saison DuPont. You know, you probably won't find any other beer from Oxbow in green bottles,
right,
except for ones that are supposed to be like this.
Yeah.
But it does have that vibe, right? There's that kind of,
Still, you said the first one is chalky. This one has a lot of chalk to it too.
I'm getting a lot of spicy hops, getting a little bit of funk. I'm getting a little bit of that light strike, which I'm having a hard time putting an actual word to.
It's, I feel like it's kind of a controlled rot.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little bit of like a little flare of rot. It's almost like I would call it the equivalent of gaminess in meat. It's kind of a,
okay,
almost like metallic thing in vegetable stuff.
It's not the best thing we've had from Oxbow.
No, not at all. Actually, I think it's the worst thing we've had from Oxbow.
Probably. It's also pretty high in carbonation.
Yeah.
I think that helps scrub the skunk off your tongue, though.
Maybe, yeah. I feel like there's a little bit of Brett in here, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It says Brett.
It said mixed fermentation, really? There's Brett, there's lacto, there's PDO, there's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
It tastes saison-y, I'll give them that, but I think that sometimes you hewn too close to tradition and you get something that just isn't that great.
It's disappointing.
I don't know how much you paid for it, but probably too much.
Who knows? That was the trip. We barely fit everything in the car.
Yep.
To come home.
All right, I guess it's time to rank.
Guess it is time to rank.
Shit.
No shit.
Not like one of our more impressive shows.
No, not at all.
Beers. Now that there weren't some good beers here, I think that there's a standout to me, and then the rest are... The rest are just kind of hard to pick. I'm having a tough time.
I got three that are... gooder and three that are badder.
Mm-hmm.
Of the gooders, I'll start with the badders. My least favorite badder, I think it's gonna have to be that 4 points because it's badder to the bone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that chalky flavor just coated my mouth. I couldn't taste anything around it. So 4 points will be in last place. I'm gonna put the Oxbow.
Last place? You put the 4 points in last place?
Yeah, yeah. It didn't work for me. I have a hard time on which one's second to last, the Proven Theory or the Oxbow. I'll just call them a tie. I'll put the Oxbow in fifth place, Proven Theory in fourth place. Now we got the gooders. Of the gooders,
there's only one to me that's really memorable.
Yeah. I'm going to put the Burial in third place. I'm going to put the Solar Winds in second place. I thought that Food Rage Lager had... It was more inspirational to me because it was different from things you get a bunch of. And then I'm going to put the Oak Age Golden Strong from Lone Pine in the top spot.
Oh,
come here. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
To me, by far, the winner is a Prison City. It was the one that was telling a really interesting story and really unique. And I really liked the concept of this oak aged lager. You can really get the lageriness and you can also get the oak aged stuff. It was subtle and it was, you know, well aged, had a lot of interesting characteristics without going overboard.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was far and away the strongest beer of the episode. The rest just kind of are a muddle to me. I think the Oak Aged Golden Strong was just like the only thing it had going for it was. And it was well crafted, I guess, but it was pretty strong, and the citric acid felt. I know you tasted more than I did. I just kind of got sort of a general stress thing, and I wasn't able to find those malt things that you were finding. The Burial was, I don't remember it.
Oh, really?
I don't remember it. I remember reading the whole thing about it.
Yeah.
But I don't remember it being like. It was
the one you said was citric acid.
I thought it was this, the Oak Age Golden Strong.
No, that was the honey. And
that was the honey.
Yeah.
An idea like how much they're blending together to me. There it is. I really remember the Solar Winds a lot. This one I think goes in last place, the Pastoral, and then just in terms of, I guess the Proven Theory is more quaffable than the ceremonial by just a hair, but Solar Winds.
Solar Winds.
If you manage to find that,
Solar Winds,
go for it. It's really interesting and unique and really
cool. It is. It's good. It's really good. We're pretty close. So in last place is the Oxbow, and then Proven Theory, the Benchtop Proven Theory, and then the 4 points. And then in third place is the Burial. And second is the Solar Winds. I think the oak-aged Golden Strong is actually a little bit better. Now, if I would have had the Solar Winds after I had that one, I might feel different.
No, and
I really liked that.
You know, it's whatever you decide, and it's fine to be wrong.
I like both of them a lot.
Fine to be wrong.
It's fine to be wrong, huh? You know what's great?
What's that?
It's to be right.
Oh, that's even better, usually?
All right. Well,
No.
Oh, marry, fuck, kill.
Oh. I don't want to marry any of them. I don't want to fuck any of them either.
Too bad. Like, we made a decision last time to not worry about doing the rankings, even though it was our fucking 20th and 59th anniversary, whatever it was.
Did we decide not to rank?
Yeah, we just did marry, fuck, kill. But we've committed to marry, fuck, kill.
For the next 20 years now, apparently.
Okay.
All right. I will marry the Solar Winds. I will... I don't know. I'm gonna kill the 4 points. Fuck the Burial.
Yeah. No. Same exact thing.
Definitely gonna marry the Solar Winds. I will fuck you, the Oak Aged Golden Strong, or the Burial. I don't think it matters to me which one shows up in the whorehouse. And I'm going to kill the Pest Earl from Oxbow.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Craft Beer Radio. Oh, that's hot. Ozzy's coming in hot.
Hot
Ozzy.
All right. We're going to do a post show, so you should hop on over to the extras feed and listen to the post show, because we're going to talk about all kinds of bullshit now.
Yep. Assuming that the post show gets posted.
It'll get posted. I got the AI to do it for me now.
Slam!
AI's got it. Don't worry.
Yeah, it certainly is working on the website right now.
It just has to be right most of the time.
I gotta pee.